Good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 82. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, and it is gorgeous out. It has been gorgeous for pretty much all the week, other than a few little showers and so forth. We've had some overcast days, and it has been getting down into the 40s at night, so a little bit chilly as well, though I have not stopped by that. I have the windows open now in the apartment. And I don't anticipate that they'll be turning on the heat again until, October or November or something like that. But it has been extremely pleasant, and I've been taking advantage of that while you're walking home from work. And we even thought about going camping last weekend, though that never actually happened. And the reason why it didn't really happen was because it seemed like it was just going to be just a little bit too cold. And we don't really have anything that warm as far as bedding and so forth that would enable us to go camping in this kind of weather. But we had kind of come up with this idea that we were going to go out just for the day and go hiking at one of the state parks or something nearby. The other thing that really clinched it was I called one of the parks that we like to go to, which is the Governor Dodge State Park up in Wisconsin. And I inquired about the trail conditions and the hiking trails, and they said that a lot of them were rather wet and soggy at the moment. So I kind of used that as an excuse not to go camping this past weekend. And it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment plan anyway. It wasn't really something that we'd planned far in advance. But I do really want to go camping this year because last year we really didn't go at all. We only had a couple of excursions, out of town, to spend the weekend out of town or just doing something fun. The year before that, though, we went camping several times and went on several little things here and there. Now, this week, we have something fun coming up, and this is something that I've mentioned on the show before. This is the weekend of C2E2, which is the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Exposition, down at McCormick Place downtown. And Pete and I will be spending Saturday all day down there and meeting up with Matt Kramer from the Legion of Substitute Podcasters. So that ought to be fun. And it's going to be kind of a busy weekend. And this is actually coming up to a really busy time. And the timing of the next show, which is to say Tom Harris USA 83, is such that it would be coming on Sunday or Monday. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I'm going to have time to do a show because of the convention weekend. So we'll see, but I'm 99% sure that next episode is going to be one of these semi-rerun shows. I'm going to try to get a couple of these in the can, as it were, to use when I run into these time crunches. And then, so the next show is probably going to be an annotated version of Tom Harris USA episode 5. And then we'll go from there and hopefully now what's going to happen is, because we have, this weekend is C2E2. Next weekend, the 24th, is the first show of the live program over on United Kingdom Radio, which I've talked about endlessly on this program. People are probably really tired of hearing you say, Tom, just get the damn show on the air and then we don't have to hear about it anymore. I don't blame you. I think I have been plugging it a lot. But I do really would like to have people call in to the live show by Skyping in at United Kingdom Radio. And the program will be 10 a.m. Central Time every Saturday, which is 11 on the East Coast and 4 to 5 p.m. over in the U.K. And what's going to happen at that point is that the pre-recorded show, this program, Tom Harris USA, is going to be moving to once a week. The plan right now is to be posting the shows on every Wednesday, and then you'll have the live show on Saturday, and that kind of gives a nice little break in between shows. So you get almost twice the content that I've been producing up till now. With this show being a more serious show, where we talk more about serious issues, and the other show being more lighthearted, which is not to say that if you want to call in and you want to talk about something that's a little bit more serious, then you should feel free, because of course I like hearing from everybody. So anyway, that's what's going on. And it is coming into, you know, the springtime and all that. Now, I'm kind of worried a little bit worried because I do have the end of my 4-month contract coming up at the end of May. I think I've talked about this before. Now, as many of you know, certainly people have been listening to the show for a while, I was unemployed between the beginning of October and the middle of January. Then I was rehired by the company that I was working for before I got laid off. But I'm on a 4-month contract, and the 4-month contract actually expires at the end of May. And I don't know whether or not I'm going to have a job after that. Hopefully I will, at least for a little while. But it does seem right now as though they really need me. So I'm kind of assuming that at that point they're probably going to say, well, you know, we're just going to consider this an open-ended contract, which would kind of leave me off kind of where I was before I got laid off. So hopefully that'll work out anyhow. The other big thing that's coming up, and this is coming up on the 27th, is that Pete and I are going to be having our 5th anniversary as a couple. So that is kind of a big deal, because it's been a long time since I've had any kind of a relationship that has lasted longer than about a year. The longest relationship I ever had was 12 and a half years, and that was with my ex-wife. Actually, it was a little longer than that, because we were dating for 3 years before that. So about 15 years that I was with my ex-wife. But this, you know, 5 years, I think that's a pretty big deal. And it's been quite a ride, but, you know, I'm not going to really talk about that on the program, because as I've often said in the past, Pete is a little bit uncomfortable with me talking about him on the program. But I'm trying to come up with some idea of something fun that we can do for our anniversary, because I don't, you know, in previous years we've done things like go to dinner. But we go to dinner often enough that going to dinner isn't all that special. It's fun. We enjoy doing it, but it isn't really 5th anniversary special. So I suppose we'll see. I am trying to come up with some good ideas of things to do, maybe somewhere to go. I don't have a lot of money right now, so, you know, travel obviously is not really in the cards at the moment. The next time I'm probably going to have an opportunity to travel is going to be in August for the family reunion up in Minnesota, which I'm looking forward to very much, actually, but I'm not sure if Pete's going to be able to come to that. So I guess we'll find out, as I've been saying. Also coming up, and this will be in a couple of weeks, is the 1st anniversary of Tom Harris USA. So that'll be pretty exciting. So, you know, it'll be, at that point, I think 85 episodes that we've done in our first year, and I'm looking forward to moving forward and doing more episodes and doing, you know, of course, I'm not going to be doing them quite as often, because I, of course, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for a very long time, in the beginning, and actually between the end of April, when the very first shows were posted, the first 3 episodes were kind of all posted at the same time, all the way up until November, I was posting a show almost twice a week. So it was every 4 days that I was posting a show. And then at that point, it became obvious that I was kind of overextending myself, and I decided to cut it back to once every 5 days. And now, of course, I'll be cutting it back to once a week. So the shows won't be racking up as quickly, but I'll also have the live show going on. So that is kind of a real landmark for me, because I think it's been my longest term continuous project ever. Certainly has been the most prolific project that I've dealt with. You know, in the past I've had various other artistic endeavors. I was part of the Amateur Press Association, the APA that dares not speak its name, and did zines for that, and that was part of my dabbling in organized comic fandom, which I've largely gotten away from, mainly because I've just kind of stopped collecting comics. But interestingly enough, you know, that was probably the longest running artistic endeavor that I had prior to this program. And of course, most of my artistic endeavors have been acting jobs. They've been, you know, shows that I've been dealing with or a theater company that I've been involved in. And typically speaking, those shows last for, you know, a month or 2 months, and you have, you know, 6 weeks of rehearsal followed by 4 weeks of performance, you know, that sort of thing. And then it's done. And I've never been in one of these things that has just been ongoing. And I've tried a couple times, actually. I tried to get, you know, I don't know if I've talked about it on the show or not, but there was a point at which I was up for a TV pilot. It's a production company here in Chicago. And that was for a cable series that was supposed to be going on HBO. And I'm not going to mention anything about it, but I don't think that the pilot ever got made. I know that I had to go back for three auditions, or I had three auditions total. I got called back twice for it. And then I never heard anything about it. And about a year later, I ran into one of the people who I'd auditioned with, and she told me that she had not heard anything either, and obviously had not really seen anything on the airwaves that was anything even comparable to that. I'm just kind of assuming that the pilot didn't get made, because of course, when you go for these pilots, I think something like 80% of them don't get made. You know, various reasons why. A lot of it has to do with backing and finances and all that suit stuff. And of those 20% that do get made, you know, maybe 1 out of 100, if that, will be picked up. So even if you get a pilot, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to actually ever be on the air. You know, you'd be hawked, you know, hawking the show to various networks and so forth. And the other thing that could have ended up being a long-term assignment was some years ago when I auditioned for the company that did Flanagan's Wake, which was a sort of an improv-based Irish wake comedy that was running here in Chicago at the time. I don't know if it's running anymore. It seems like the show has since closed down, because the theater downtown that was running that show closed down, and they had to move the production out to the suburbs somewhere. And I was, you know, one of the two finalists that they were kind of considering for a particular role, and the other guy got it. So, yeah, acting is like that. You know, it's a series of near misses and what ifs and what could have been. But, you know, the point is, you don't get discouraged by that, because, you know, the fact that you got that far, you had the three auditions for the production company, or that you did be, you know, you were the second choice. That means something. You know, that's like a vindication, you know, that you don't suck, you know, even if I don't consider myself a great actor. I mean, you know, it was a privilege to be even considered for that. Now, speaking of entertainment, I did hear a new podcast this week, and I'm going to go ahead and recommend it. Now, some time ago, there was a internet radio station called Play Talk, and this is part of the playradio.co.uk website. And, you know, Chris Reardon had the podcast show on there, in which he reviewed this show way back. I think I just put out episode number 3. And then there were a number of other hosts, and, you know, Tommy Boyd, Richard J. Cartridge, Matt Hollick, you know, a bunch of different people. And Tommy Boyd, who was sort of the head honcho at Play Radio, as far as I know, hasn't really been doing, I don't think, a regular gig since then, but he's been doing bits and pieces here and there, which is always good to hear. And he has a blog that I follow, and he just the other day, about, I think, 2 or 3 days ago, posted the first of what I hope is going to be a series of Tommy Boyd pubcasts. And what that consisted of was himself and Richard Cartridge and Matt Hollick and another guy who I'm really not familiar with, got together in a pub in Chichester and recorded their conversation. And just amazing stuff. Obviously, it had been edited quite heavily, but it was pretty neat. And I really hope that there are a few more of those. Anyway, if you're interested in hearing that, you can go to Tommy-Boyd.co.uk and look for Tommy Boyd's pubcast, which I think was posted on April 12th. And I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, I can imagine doing that. It would have to be the right mix of people. It would actually have to be people who could hold their own in a conversation. And I think that you kind of had that with that particular group. And I used to listen to Richard J. Cartridge, and I used to listen to Tommy Boyd back, you know, when Play Talk was still around. So it was really kind of neat to hear them again, and I hope they're doing well. I mean, obviously they're not doing Play Radio anymore, but high marks for that, and hoping to hear more. Now, speaking of conversation, if you'd like to join the conversation on this program, please feel free. You can contact the show by email. You can send an email to tom@tomharrisusa.com. Things have been pretty quiet on the email lately. I haven't had a lot of Facebook comments or commentary coming from the website. I do have a few things that I want to talk about, but, you know, the last few episodes have been rather serious as far as the topics that have come up and the various subjects I've been discussing. So I was really hoping this time around to keep things a little lighter. And, you know, because I realize that obviously not everybody listens to the show for heavy topics, you know, deep thinking. I know that there are certain people who are listening who aren't really into the whole talking about issues, and they would rather be talking about a little bit more lighthearted things. And that, of course, is what the live show is going to be all about. That's going to be a more fun show with a little bit lighter topics and things that people can actually call up and discuss, as opposed to just kind of being a jolly soapbox, which is kind of what this show is. But I do like hearing from people, and I do want people to email again. Once again, the email is tom@tomharrisusa.com. In other entertainment news, since this seems to be turning into something of a entertainment-themed episode of Tom Harris USA, the Addams Family musical, which I spoke about some time ago on the program, Pete and I went to go see this back during the premiere engagement here in Chicago. The show actually originated here in Chicago, as many Broadway shows do. And the show actually left Chicago a couple of weeks ago and has now moved to New York. And hopefully some people who are listening to the show may actually have a chance to go see it. Now, interestingly enough, there was an interview with Kevin Chamberlain. I know I mentioned him specifically in my review of the show. He plays Uncle Fester. And he was saying that they have actually cut a half an hour out of that show. And I know that they certainly have changed around some of the songs, and including they've changed the entire beginning of the show, which is kind of interesting. It's interesting to see how, you know, this premiere run informed the audience's reactions, how they think that New York audiences are going to react to certain things. I noticed that they changed some of the characters a little bit, and apparently have rewritten several scenes and changed around some of the roles a little bit to make the guest artist, I suppose the family that's in the show that's not the Addams Family, make them seem a little bit less dominant in the plot. So kind of an interesting article that was in the Chicago Tribune this past week about some of the changes. And I noticed that when they showed a number from the show on David Letterman the other week, somebody sent me a clip to that song that they performed wasn't even in the show that Pete and I saw. So interesting. I'm guessing they added a couple new songs and they took out some of the other numbers. And, that was one of the concerns that I had in my review, that some of the music wasn't up to snuff. There wasn't a lot memorable, which of course is a bad news if you're a musical and you don't have any songs that are particularly memorable. But anyway, it sounds as though they may have dealt with that now, at least gone some way toward solving that problem. But that being said, I am kind of glad that we saw the original version before they made all of the changes. I guess I would be interested in seeing the show again now and seeing if that half an hour they cut off the show tightened it up, made it snappier, no pun intended. Because I think that that's really kind of one of the things that show needed, was a little bit more faster pace and a little bit less of the quieter numbers that they had. So I'd be interested in hearing. Suco in New York, if you see the show, I'd be more than interested in hearing your feedback. And I assume that you're going to see it at some point. And I'd be interested in hearing what you think. As always, the email address, tom@tomharrisusa.com. In other news, I've actually filed my taxes now. Hooray! Now, that was something I was beginning to wonder about. I was beginning to wonder if I would actually get them filed on time this year. And part of that I talked about on a previous show. I was talking about how the unemployment agency was causing me some problems because they kept getting my address wrong. And I know I talked about that, so I don't need to rehash it. But finally, I got that problem resolved and went ahead and requested my 1099 and received it the other day. Now, I probably could have done this a few months ago, except that I have had this practice, and maybe I should probably look into this and maybe try to adapt this a little bit now that my situation has changed. But about 10 years ago, back when I was in school, I didn't have any income from wages. I didn't actually have a full-time job of any type for 4 years. My job was, I was a full-time student, and that's what I did. And when I wasn't in school, I would travel. And so I got into the practice of filing my taxes as close to the deadline as possible. Now, the deadline for income tax here in the U.S. is April 15th. And today being April 12th, this is late even for me, but I had gotten into the practice of filing my taxes late because I usually had to pay. I had to pay, sometimes up to about $600-$800 in income tax. And that had to come out of my pocket because I didn't actually have that income coming from wages. So there was no tax being taken out of it like you would with a withholding tax out of your paycheck. So now that the situation has changed, I don't actually have to rely on investment income and so forth to survive anymore. And particularly in the last 2 years, since I've been working for the company that I'm working for now. Now, if I lose my job again, which is possible, then things may change again, but presumably I can, get something else and be able to, not have to rely on investment income. But, I don't have very many investments anymore. Most of that's gone now. That 4 years that I spent in college, that was sort of the money I lived on. So there's some left, but not very much. So I'm trying to preserve it. Right now, I just kind of consider that little bit of investment I have just off limits. I just pretend I don't have it at all. But anyway, got that finally filed. And I should be getting back a little bit of money. Not a lot, but just enough to do something fun maybe. Or maybe I can use that money to pay for my vacation in August. I have a feeling that that's what it's going to go to, is that the entirety of it is going to go towards my vacation in August. And that'll use it up, plus some, probably. So much for that. But the thing is, it takes, back when I had to deal with Schedule B and Schedule D and all this other, income and investment income and capital gains and all that rubbish. It would take a couple to 3 hours to do my taxes some years, depending on how many transactions I'd had with, selling stock or whatever. But this past 2 years, it's been very, very quick, very, very easy. It's, 20 minutes and my taxes are done. So why I keep putting it off, I don't know. And I guess that probably has to do something with my inherent laziness. And I've talked about that on the program before, is that I do have this tendency to be lazy as fuck. And to put things off, to push things back all the time, and to really not put what I should be doing on the front burner until it gets really close. For example, I do this show every 5 days. I usually don't start recording the show till a couple days before the show needs to be posted. What I probably should do is start putting together bits and pieces the day after I post the new show, or to maybe take that day off and then, continue on the next day. But a lot of times I don't, and this week is one of those times, where I don't really have anything specific I want to talk about. And I haven't had any feedback from anybody, which is one of the reasons why I really like getting feedback, and one of the reasons why I keep telling people write to the show, is because I need stuff to talk about. And, you know, coming up with topics is always something. Now, I have a feeling that with the live show, coming up with topics is going to be entirely different, because when you are dealing with a conversational kind of frame of reference, you have people who are calling, and they are beyond your control as far as what conversation turns to. So if you have a conversation about, say, you know, funny cat stories, and then you have a caller call in and they're talking about, you know, what their dog did or what their bird did or the time they went hunting with their uncle or something like that, then you're going to have, you know, no control or very little control over the conversation and what direction that goes. So theoretically, you could stretch out topics, you know, for weeks and weeks and not actually talk about them. And I've heard other people do that. I've heard this on, I think most notably, I've heard this on Mikey Holt's show, where he'll come up with a topic and then nobody will talk about it. That topic will just kind of be spat out. Ross Patzelt occasionally will get something like that. And I guess that it's one of the gifts of a good host, of a good talk show host, is kind of steering the guests back to the topics and discussing the topic at hand. And I was talking about Tommy Boyd earlier, but he was good at that. He would go way off the rails occasionally and go off on way some other topic. And I've heard other radio hosts like Richard Cartridge, who I also mentioned earlier, who would just let it go off the rails and just keep it conversational. And that's great if you can do that. But sometimes you just want to have to steer the topic back to what you were talking about. Anyway, I'm hoping that once I get that show going, that won't be such a big problem. But this is a different type of show. When you're dealing with some of these weightier issues, it's, I think, a little bit harder to come up with stuff, and I actually need to do research. So that doesn't, you know, do well with the fact that I was just talking about, that I tend to be a little bit lazy sometimes. And I'm thinking that, you know, when I get the show, you get the live show going, and then this show will be once a week, that maybe I can spend a little bit more time doing research. Now, there is a show that I'm working on right now, and it has to do with UFOs. I'm not going to say much more about it, but a lot of information out there available on these topics. And of course, the themes that keep coming up as I'm doing this are themes that I've talked about before. Things like the echo chamber of faith and things like conspiracy theories. And it's amazing how much of this sort of thing is tied together, and the sort of trust that people put in the wrong place. You know, actually, the kind of interesting, you know, there's somebody on my friends list on Facebook. Has nothing to do with the show. Don't think he listens to the show. Somebody I knew a long time ago. He's a huge gun nut. You know, the right to bear arms to him is one of the most important things in the world. And they have, you know, all over the internet, of course, the sort of, you know, pro-gun blogs and forums and things, which are, you know, they're a lot like the conspiracy theory forums, and they're a lot like that sort of thing, where the people will just kind of regurgitate these ideas at each other, work each other up into a frenzy over absolutely nothing. And this guy actually sometimes will post on Facebook these, you know, status updates that have to do with these gun issues, you know, talking about how the government wants to take away your guns and that sort of thing. Now, none of it is true. You know, it's just sort of this article of faith that a lot of people have, this sort of groupthink, whether it be guns or politics or UFOs or psychics or whatever. And I think that's, you know, all the more reason why I should do the research and why I should keep trying and still keep talking about all this stuff. But there's so many issues that tie into that same mindset. And I guess that's my point. Anyhow, I am out of time. So I did a whole show about nothing. Aren't you lucky? Thanks for listening. From beautiful Chicago, Illinois, this is Tom Harris signing off.